When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Beasley switching it! The U.S. go up! What a goal from Carlos Bocanegra!
Lloyd will try a long hit! What a goal from Lloyd! This is spectacular! It's hit with no regard for humanity! Is this the moment for Shaqiri? Yes, it is! Switzerland! And Shaqiri has scored in the 90th minute! That was worth the price of admission alone!
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, let's get it together tonight. Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5 is on the air. And following the footsteps here of Jeremy and Joe, we learned that Yordan Alvarez is injured. Not a good thing for those Astros. A.J. Russ behind the glass. Brian McDonald taking a bit of a break tonight, and AJ's always excellent when he comes in. We got a lot to talk about tonight. I mean, we have Champions League from today. There was some amazing stuff there. We have a recap of some of the key games of the weekend from the Premier League, La Liga, Serie A. Got some news on U.S. players performing over there. We got a new sponsor to introduce here tonight, and AJ's going to get a chance to taste some of the cuisine later. We got Hugo Perez, and we're going to get really deep into player development in the United States. For every criticism of the U.S. national team, we must always go back to the way the game goes in the United States. So we're gonna get into some of that here tonight as well. We're going to go over the Houston Dynamo. Do they deserve to be in the playoffs? Does RSL deserve to be in the playoffs? Does Dallas deserve to? I don't know. Are we rewarding mediocrity to subpar? I mean, it is the league. I get it. It is the way it's played. But I put something out today. It's had about 30,000 views, and there's been a lot of really good response from people just talking about maybe what mechanisms could be used to kind of change up and add some consequence, which could, in fact, push owners, push players, push coaches as well. All right, so let's get to some of the stuff that happened on the weekend. We had the 179th meeting between Manchester City and Manchester United. City wins this 3-0, two goals for Erling Haaland. Haaland is looking like two seasons ago. It was a debut of Gianluigi Donnarumma from PSG. Phil Foden would get the game winner in this one. Here's what it sounded like.
Doku. Nice from Jeremy Doku. And Foden. Back with a bang. Back with a goal.
So that was a 3-0 victory for Manchester City over Manchester United. Liverpool 1-0 over Burnley. Wasn't a great game. They get a late penalty. They have continued to produce results late in matches. Mo Salah, who did not have a very good day, goes to the penalty spot.
Salah, he's done it so many times before, and he's done it once again at Turf Moor. Well, they just keep on doing it, don't they? And they keep on sending those Liverpool fans into it.
was pulling for J.J. Watt's team, although I liked Liverpool as well. Houston LFC, they're always out at Hugh O'Connor's pub out on I-10, and they will likely be there tomorrow for the Champions League as well. So don't forget that, Hugh O'Connor's pub out on I-10 in the Marquee Entertainment Center. All right, Arsenal, 3-0 victory over Nottingham Forest. Martin Zubimendi had two in this one. Five newcomers in the lineup for Mikel Arteta. Here's one of Zubimendi's goal. I believe this is the hit from long range. What a spectacular goal this is.
Madueke. Zubimendi! Well, as opening goals for a club go, that's pretty darn good.
Pretty darn good. That was a goal in itself, boy. Other notable this weekend, Chelsea 2-2 draw with Brentford. Chelsea will be in action tomorrow in the Champions League, I believe against Bayern Munich. All right, let's go to La Liga. Barcelona with a 6-0 victory over Valencia. A pair of goals for Fermin Lopez, Robert Lewandowski, and Rafinha. Barcelona, 72% of the possession. Fermin Lopez's 29th minute goal. Here it is. This would be the game winner.
Uy, qué buen toque. Está habilitado. Le tiene Fermin Lopez. Remate, gol. Gol de Barcelona. Fermin Lopez. Derecha junto al palo.
That commentator had to do that six times, by the way. He held that long goal call. Fermin Lopez, 29th minute. He would get two on the night. Real Madrid, Atletico Madrid. Real got a result. Atletico Madrid got its first win over Villarreal, which they very much needed. And tomorrow, they are in a good one with Diego Simeone going up against Orange Slot in the Champions League. So it's Atletico Madrid and Liverpool tomorrow. Juventus, spectacular 4-3. I mean, this was a crazy game with Inter Milan. Juventus had four shots and four goals in this game. The game winner comes from Adzic, and it was his first ever goal for Juventus.
This is Adzic from range. Some are beaten again. And it's Adzic who has produced the match-winning moment, surely. Who saw that coming? His first ever goal for the club. He'd not even played 90 minutes across nine substitute appearances. And off the bench, Vasilije Adzic is a name to remember.
Patrick, incredible scenes here at the stadium. Please, don't stop playing tonight. Keep going for extra 30, 40, 50 minutes because we are dreaming here.
Who is this guy? I love this guy.
Coming from nowhere, from this player, from distance, finding the net again with a wonderful goal.
I love that guy. I love that passion. I love that emotion. That's great stuff there. And then, so Christian Pulisic came off the bench for Milan, played very well, set up some plays, made an instant impact. But prior to coming off the bench for Milan, the lone goal was scored by Luka Modric in the, I can't remember what minute this came in, but Luka Modric, just for everyone out there, everybody knows he's older. He's now 40 years old, and he comes from late here, and this is what the game winner sounded like for Milan.
Salamakers, one-on-one here, his opposite number. Salamakers across, and there he is, Luka Modric! And in the week that he celebrated his 40th birthday, Luka Modric shows age is no barrier and gets his first goal for the club.
So the match is today, match day one in UEFA. So we had PSV got beat at home 3-1 by Union Saint-Gilloise from Belgium. Benfica lost to Qarabag 3-2. Arsenal knocked off Athletic Club. Juventus scores four goals again. This time they come from behind to Dortmund. They're losing 4-2. They tied up. So Juventus has scored eight goals in two games in the span of about 3 days. Pretty incredible. Real Madrid had a red card in this one against Marseille. They win 2-1 today on match day one. Tim Weah got the goal for Marseille, by the way, for U.S. National team fans. So That was a good thing. Kylian Mbappe was the man of the match. I do believe he got a penalty in this one, I'm pretty sure. So Real Madrid wins, and Spurs got a 1-0 victory over Villarreal. So tomorrow we got Olympiacos against Paphos, Bayern Munich, Chelsea, Slavia Prague, Bodo Glimt, Liverpool, Atleti, Ajax and Inter, and Paris Saint-Germain against Atalanta. So there are your games coming up tomorrow. So I put this post out about consequence in Major League Soccer. I think Major League Soccer, you know, and look, I'm a fan of it. Everybody knows that. But I think it's running out of a little bit of steam right now. 18 out of 30 make the playoffs as usual. I put something out about it and paring it down to six in each conference, or maybe, and somebody then suggested seven, six and seven plays to, you know, a playoff match. But it was a hot topic. I posted about the fact that too many playoff spots, to me, reward mediocrity. I mentioned some of the teams already. Let me be clear. This is not a promotion relegation comparison and debate. That started coming into the thread. This is more around how do we get more consequence in meritocracy competition in MLS. It just seems too comfortable for me for much of the season because of the fallback position, safety net of 18 teams. It allows owners to go slow. It allows for a lack of urgency. It allows for front offices to sit on it. And it allows coaches and players. And don't get me wrong. I know coaches and players are given their all. They need, though, the outside healthy pressure of all these other elements. So I think less playoff spots would be great. I know it's not going to happen. You don't have to remind me of that. I know it's all about content. It's about keeping everybody involved. I would make an argument you'll keep people more involved if you're more urgent to win games in the beginning of the year, and these are more competitive, better games, and that may be a reason why people come to. And remember, you always have the League's Cup, and you always have the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup, which you can shift if you didn't get off to a good start and be serious about trying to win those competitions. So, I don't know. It delays decision-making to me. It siphons the importance out of individual regular season games without the consequence. And you can say all year long, well, we're still in the playoff hunt. I'm tired of it, I guess. But I know it's not going anywhere. So I'm a realist here as well. You can consistently go back to the safety net. We're in the playoffs too. And I know you may think it engages the fan base and keeps them hopeful. I understand that argument. I'm going to counter with those clubs whose attendance is poor, like here in Houston and Dallas and other markets, that urgency could attract more fans. And you would get better quality games if you got to have your roster a little bit more ready and in tune, and you got to make some serious decisions. Less playoff teams could push clubs at all levels from the owner down and bring that very important, healthy pressure with more urgency from the start of the season. It would force teams to get its roster settled earlier. You don't have to wait. You won't have to wait always to the summer window. You got to produce results earlier. I don't know. There's a bit of a fog right now. I think the energy for MLS is, in a lot of markets, and certainly from a national perspective, look, I get it. Cincinnati, it's great. Portland, it's great. Seattle, it's great. But the Messi impact, I think, is sputtering. Part of that's because he can't play every game. He's likely going to play tonight, Inter Miami now, without Suarez, is all of a sudden in a position of danger and could potentially not make the playoffs, right? I do want to do a bit of a tribute tonight to a player that I played against, Jaime Rodriguez. They called him La Chelona, the legendary player for El Salvador. He was part of the 1982 team that got to the World Cup. And Jaime was a super guy from what I knew of him, obviously an excellent player. When you think of the greatest players in El Salvador history, I think you're going to go to Mágico González first, and then you're going to go to La Chelona, Jaime Rodriguez, second. I played against him when he was on Alianza, but he was on that legendary 82 World Cup team, played for Atlas in Mexico. He went to a lot of different countries to play the game. I also met up with him in El Salvador. Oh, wow. It's well over. It's probably 20 years ago. I was down there with Fox, and I was calling soccer matches for the Central American and Caribbean games, Cuscatlan Stadium, and he was doing Spanish TV, so got to hang out, you know, for a good portion of time and talk about differing things. So it was very sad for me to hear. I think he had cardiac arrest, but it was saddening news. So I'm going to ask Hugo Perez about that tonight. He played for Alianza, he played for FAS, León in Mexico, 139 times, Atlas, then back to Alianza, played in Japan. That's when his second go-round at Alianza, I think, is when I played against him. Yeah, probably, yeah. So anyway, that's a bit of a sad note here tonight. We got Hugo Perez coming up. We're going to talk player development. We can take your phone calls throughout the night. We'll do a Dynamo segment in the second hour. We got player development talk coming up for the next two segments. Last week was a tough week. Still tough for all of us. I'm going to break down that Dynamo Colorado game as well. And bring it to the table tonight. Okay, I do want to tell you a little bit about our new sponsor. Slip Sliders. Okay, now everybody likes sliders. This is down on Bins in the Museum District. These are one-of-a-kind sliders. There's a real long, extensive menu, and I'll tell you a little bit about them later, but we got some coming in tonight, and we have their owner coming in tonight. 1802 Bins, Slip Sliders. They call it casual fast, casual restaurant. Different flavors of sliders, mixed with different cuisines, ingredients, beef, chicken, pulled pork, vegan. They got a killer shrimp patty. That's my favorite. Fries, onion rings, salads, global flavors. The list is pretty crazy. So I had the Caribbean chick. I had the backyard burger. Excellent. I think those are the ones that we're going to bring tonight. You're gonna sample them and give your expertise tonight. You're gonna be a foodie sampler tonight, AJ.
Absolutely, thank you.
Swiss Miss is can't go wrong. I mean, you mix mushrooms and Swiss cheese. Come on, this is called Slip Sliders. This is down on 1802 Bins, and who doesn't like good sliders? Shrimp Shack was the one I liked. Southern Comfort is a fried chicken slider. And by the way, they're not little itty bitty. They're decent size. They're bigger than the normal one to me. Got the Captain Jack, which is grilled or blackened salmon. The key here for me, though, is made to order. They're not sitting around laying there. They make them to order. All right? So mark it down. Slip Sliders, 1802 Bins. This is I Need You from Lynyrd Skynyrd. And we'll come back with Hugo Perez, former U.S. men's national team player, former coach of El Salvador.
On ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
LCD Sound System. It's a great song. Someone great. Friends down at Cactus Music. Cactus Music for the best in vinyl and CDs. Down there, say hello to the staff. Great place to go. If you are a music lover, you can hang out in there. And you got pre-loved vinyl down there. You got new issues. You got CDs. You got T-shirts. You got memorabilia on the walls. There's a stage in there. And if you're up on it, you'll hear a lot of artists come through town, and they'll do like a little mini set in there on the stage. It's very cool. Cactus Music. Big thank you to them. And also LamontBrands.com. If you saw the video promoting the show tonight, LamontBrands.com for your T-shirts. All right, let's not keep our next guest waiting. He is Been to two World Cups with the U.S. Men's National Team. One of the most technical players in the history of U.S. soccer. Has done extensive work under 15 U.S. National Team. He's worked with the likes of Tyler Adams, Christian Pulisic. He knows these kids well. He has been the coach of El Salvador as well, amongst many other things that I probably don't even know. He is Hugo Perez. He joins us now. Hugo, thank you very much for coming on again.
Hey, thank you for having me. Thank you very much.
Always a pleasure. I just want to start you off tonight because we got sad news here recently about someone I know you know very well. Jaime La Chalona Rodriguez, one of the legendary 1982 El Salvador players who passed away. And maybe just a quick mention for my listeners, because I know there's people from Salvador listening, but I also want the other listeners to understand the importance of Jaime Rodriguez in the footballing world in El Salvador.
Yeah, I think he's one of the icons in El Salvador, obviously, as you mentioned it. He was in the World Cup in 1982, and he was one of the first players in El Salvador to play in three different continents. And then afterwards, he did some work for the Federation. He did some work for the Organization of Sports in El Salvador. He was, I would have to say for me personally, because I played against him, he was, if not the top, one of the top center backs that El Salvador has ever produced.
Yeah, that's for sure. He's Jaime La Chalona Rodriguez, just passed, very, very sad. He did some coaching, you know, post. Was that his main thing? Because I also met him in El Salvador when he was a commentator as well.
Yeah, he did a little bit of coaching, but he never really pursued it. And then he did some commentating for certain networks. But he most of the work he did was within this, which is the head organization of all the sports. Which, by the way, the president right now, which is Bukele, Yamil Bukele, he's in charge of it now, which I think in a couple of months he'll become the president of the Salvadorian Soccer Federation. But that's where La Chalona worked for a couple of years. And then after that, he kind of faded away from soccer, and I think he was living in Houston when he died.
Yeah, I think in Sugarland.
Yeah, yes. And because his son is a commentator. He has podcasts and he does certain things in the radio. And I had talked to La Chalona, I think it was about a month and a half ago, because his son came to my house and he did an interview. And then I called him. We were on FaceTime and, you know, he was doing well. And then I got the sad news this week that he had passed away.
Yeah, shocking. All right, Hugo, let's move on to player development in this country. I'm really excited about doing this interview with you. So just give me your general, in a Cliff Notes version, and I know it's not that easy. It's not that easy of a question, but your general thoughts overall on the game in this country. I mean, I think it's pretty evident. We all know from a financial standpoint, the money side of it really seems to take precedent to me. This is me speaking. The registration side of it in the youth game, it's all about registering players. So let me just give the floor to you and get your overall thoughts on where we are.
Well, look, if we're going to separate player development, because it's a very important issue in every country of the world, I think America, the United States, I have to say that in the last 15, 20 years, let's say, we've progressed in basically having some kind of an important league for our American players to start. And I'm talking about the MLS, I'm talking about the USL, and obviously USL 1, USL 2. So that's a positive thing. Where I think that we are stuck is we are not producing, or we would have to say, basically developing players that are unique, talented, and that could be playing, for example, in Real Madrid, Manchester United, and, you know, clubs, big clubs like that. I think we're stuck there, and that's the reality. And because the other thing is, I would have to say that when you're talking about developing players, sometimes we get confused here. Okay? And before you start developing players, one of the most important things that I think we're lacking here is the understanding of finding talent, okay, that could make those talented players that are being found all over the country, whether it's MLS academies or non-MLS academies. I think we're lacking people that are really identifying that talent, and then once we identify that talent,
let me just stop you there, Ugo, for a second, because I just want to pinpoint. You're saying lots of very important things here. So you're saying the scouting network. Look, we're being honest here. You don't think the scouting network is living up to it?
No, it's not that I don't think. It's what we all see.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know who's scouting right now for MLS clubs or for U.S. national team programs. I don't know. But a lot has to do with the people who are scouting, because if you're not scouting the right talent, then that means even if you scout a player that is good and never makes it to one of the top players in the world from this country, then we're missing the target. We're missing the point. We don't need to develop 100 players every year, no. But what I think we need to make sure we pinpoint and hit the target is who are these people that are working with MLS clubs and non-MLS clubs and the national team programs, and what type of scouts are they? What do they see? What is their potential as far as the type of players that we want to see in this country being developed? So that's where one of the biggest issues I think it is, because I haven't seen, I'll be honest with you, I think you mentioned this. The last group that I worked with, which was the 99s and the 98s. If you look at that group and you make basically, and you go back and see where they started and where they are now, most of them became professional players who are playing now in Europe, in Mexico, and important leagues in the world.
Tyler Adams, Christian Pulisic, just for my listeners, name a few more, Ugo.
McKinney.
Weston McKinney.
Weah.
Tim Weah scored today for Marseille. McKinney played right back today for Juventus.
De La Torre was playing in Europe.
So this group was identified and developed well. But when I look at the overall setups here, and of course we live it really deeply here in Houston, because we're not getting academy players through to the first team. We're seeing MLS Next programs now adding third teams. So to me it's about registrations. But when we throw this amount of money at the sport of soccer in this country, you mean to tell me we can't produce 6 or 7 Christian Pulisics? We can only get one?
Well, the problem is who's scouting and who's finding that talent and who's working with that talent. Because I'll tell you something. If you find a player that is about, let's say, between 9 and 11 years old, and you see that that player is talented. He has talent. So what do? You bring him to an MLS club, and then the people who are working with the MLS clubs that say they are developing players, they need to identify this player and they need to start giving him a program for the next 5 years or 6 years that would enhance his talent. Because talent is good, but if you don't work it out to get it better and better, then they cannot become first-team players or national team players. And that's where I think we're missing the mark in a lot of the MLS clubs. The MLS clubs, again, with all respect, I think they've done a good job in getting, you know, installations and having fields to train and all that. But I think we're still missing the mark because we're not producing players for the first team. Look, I'll give you an example, and you correct me if I'm wrong. I think last year in the All-Star, there was only one American player starting in the All-Star. What does that tell you?
Okay? It's not good. And, I mean, even down here, we don't see the academy players get through to the first team. What we see is players being bought from Brazil and things on loan.
Yeah,
they get parked on the second team. The academy kids never get the opportunity. And if they don't see one of their own getting through that have grown up in Houston – I mean, you're missing a valuable piece here that if nobody's getting through, I don't get it. And we'll also get, if you talk to the youth soccer community, they're going to tell you that our staff is better than the Houston Dynamo in this market. That's how competitive it is. Now, I do know MLS Next, not the Josh Gardner group, which is Rangers. They push their guys to the Dynamo. When the Dynamo want them, it seems like a good relationship. Josh Gardner, I know, is an exceptional coach, but now he's an administrator. So probably the best coach in the club is not on the field working with kids now. I find that to be a huge problem.
Well, it is, because, again, if you don't have somebody who understands what talent is and how to develop it, you're going to lose that kid. There's no question about that. The other thing is, and I'm sorry to say this, but we're choosing here players that are more athletic and less football players. Okay? We want players who are more stronger, faster.
Seriously,
powerful.
Hugo, we're still doing that? We're still doing that, right?
Yeah, but
unbelievable.
I mean, hey, that's what I'm saying. I mean, I don't mind if you're going to get a player who's strong, he's physical, whatever. Okay? But if we are basically saying, well, this is the type of players that we want now in our national team programs so we can compete against the rest of the world, it's totally wrong. It's not. That's not the answer. Now, if you have a player like that that is technical, that is creative, hey, you have to applaud. You have to welcome him. But we're forgetting about that. We forget that if you want to train an athlete to become more creative, it's almost impossible. But if you have a creative player and you want to train him a little bit to be more athletic, then you can do that. Okay? But that's what I'm saying. We're missing the point and the target. We're not looking for players who are technically or creative good with talent. We're just looking at sometimes how fast they are, how powerful they are.
Yeah.
And here they get this confusing about what they call athleticism. You know that athleticism in soccer is different than athleticism of an athlete. It's totally different, okay? And at the end, if we don't wake up, okay, if all this money that these owners are spending in academy programs, okay, and we're not producing players for the first team, you're wasting their money. And the guys who are in charge are wasting the money of these owners. And with the federation, I'm very disappointed, to be honest with you, because when I was working there, and I worked there for about 8 years, I think the program that we had in identifying players, working with them, it was working, okay? Because we looked first, okay, at players who were creative. I remember, and this is not a lie, when Pulisic came to our first camp, he was a little guy. Very small.
Yeah.
And some comments were made like, well, you know, he can't be in the national league. He's too small. You know, he's not strong. And this is, if you talk to Juan Carlos Mejia, he can tell you because he was with me.
Sure.
And I said, no. We got to leave Pulisic in the national team because he's creative. He can take people on. He's technical. We're just going to have to surround them you know, with stronger
with the right
players
people.
Because we used to play 2 years out.
Ugo, check this out. I had his the company that represents him. I had Rob Moore on the show, if I get the name right. I think he's Australian. And Rob Moore said if he didn't go to Germany, he would have been a USL player. That's the statement he made on this show.
He's right.
Yeah, that's what he said on this show. So we're going to go to a break here. When I come back, I want to talk to you about, you know, the MLS Next programs here in Houston.
Yeah.
Because they're getting pushed now to add third teams, three teams at age levels. So to me, it's about registrations. And there's a company called Cobalt who's kind of oversees this. And they've got a list of a whole bunch of clubs underneath them. Royals in Arizona, RSL Arizona. I don't know what it's all about, but they're overseeing all these things. And the big thing that jumps out to me is that you got three teams now at every age level. I don't know how you can be totally focused on player development with that many kids around. All right, Ugo.
Very difficult.
Yeah. We're going to bring you back. I want to ask you about that group of kids, Adams, Pulisic, and kind of some of the things you did for with them and for them when you were working with them in order to really push them to the next level. Ugo Perez is joining us tonight, former U.S. national team player, head coach of El Salvador, also noted for all his work in player development. All right, we're going to take a break. As we go to break, a reminder here, Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5 is presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. It's DaspitLaw.com, 713-CALL-NOW. They are our anchor sponsors. And John and his firm, they're personal injury attorneys. Nobody wants to get in an accident, but if you get in a car, boat, motorcycle, you want the best, and the best is the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLaw.com. We'll take a break. We're coming back.
You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to the show. Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5 is always presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. We welcome our new sponsor tonight, Slip Sliders. One-of-a-kind sliders, 1802 bins. Everybody likes sliders. Casual, fast, casual restaurant. Different flavors, cuisines, ingredients, beef, chicken, pulled pork, vegan, shrimp patties. The menu's pretty incredible. I'm going to read it off a little bit later, but there's a lot of variety and a lot of really interesting stuff. I've sampled about four of them. We got some of them coming in here tonight. Slip Sliders, we welcome you to being partners here with Soccer in the City of Houston and Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. And with that, I remind you about our T-shirts, LamontBrands.com. And I remind you about Nico's Greek and American Cafe, the best in Greek food. Three locations in Houston. You got the Woodlands, you got I-10 and the Beltway. Great bakeries in these facilities. Nico's and Dimitri, everybody knows him in Houston. I mean, he's bigger than J.J. Watt in Houston. I don't know. He might be. But it's Nico's Greek and American Cafe, and the original is on Montrose, okay, near Westheimer. All right, we welcome back Ugo Perez. Ugo, before I get you into, you know, working at a young age with Christian Pulisic and Adams and all of them, I want to ask you about other small things that can make a big difference in player development. Hence, I bring up 18 teams make the playoffs out of 30 in Major League Soccer. To me, it's an incredible safety net. It, I think, lessens consequence, urgency. This is all a part of player development, right? Having more pressure on players, I think even changes in that area to maybe six or seven teams making the playoffs can also enhance the American player. And, of course, then we can go up and down teams in the league, and we see teams that use American players and others that don't use as many.
Oh, look, I think... By the way,
before you answer it, I just want to say, this is not a grievance show, but we're digging into real honest issues here, and we're putting it on the table. So, you know, I don't want to sound as though we're in all-out attack mode, but we do realize, I think, that things need to improve and change, and you got to look at everything. All right, Hugo, sorry.
Yeah, look, I think the way the league is structured here, you and I know that, all your listeners know that. If it's not the only league in the world, maybe there's another one. I don't know. It's totally different than any other league in the world. First of all, there's no relegation here. Okay? Now, if in the future, because I've heard that maybe they might change that might be an important thing. Although I don't,
but Hugo, do you really think they're going to do that? No way. These owners are not going to.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
okay.
There's no way, because to me, that's just when people bring up promotion and relegation, it's like a hot button word, right? It gets a lot of attention, but nobody has explained how it would ever be executed and done. And I guess I'm looking more at the USL. But these owners in MLS, you and I know, they're not going for this.
Yeah, I know, because it's an investment for them. They don't want to lose. But,
yeah, and they've already invested under differing terms and a differing agreement, which, in fairness to them, they're right.
So I think what it needs to be fixed, and the owners need to understand this. And here's the other thing. I think, I don't know. I mean, I had an experience at DC United because I interviewed there for 2 years ago for the job. And I don't know how much, basically, owners get involved in all these talks, unless it's, you know, spending money. But I'll tell you something. If you're going to keep the structure of the league the way it is, with no relegation, then you have to make sure that the youth program that the MLS teams have, they need to put attention to them. Because if you're not going to fight for relegation, then there's no pressure, okay? And there's no excuse why shouldn't more kids be playing in the first team if they're doing a good job 5 years before in the academy programs, okay? And this is where if you're going to invest money and continue to invest money in the academy program, then pay attention. Whoever is scouting, working with these kids with you, and make sure that they understand that in 5 years, if you get a player who's 11 or 12 years old, you want at least every 2 years have a player that is coming up to the first team being a starter if they have done a good job developing him 5 years before. I think that's, for me, that's key. Because if not, it doesn't make any sense for them to have academy programs and have other clubs and this and that. And that's the other thing. I think you touched on this. I'll tell you something. I when I was taking my license about 15 years ago, I went to Freiburg. And you know, Freiburg is a mid-table club in Germany.
Germany, yep.
Yeah. But the way they work with the clubs around, they had this thing in Freiburg where all the clubs would bring the best players to Freiburg when they turned 12 years old, I think, or 11 years old. And the ones that they felt were talented enough, they would grab them, and then they would help these clubs, whether it was with money or different things, coaching, education, whatever. And the ones
the German Federation does that probably better than anybody, right?
Yeah. And the ones who were not talented enough to stay in the academy, they were given back to the clubs with no issues, with no problems. Okay. I would like to see that in this country, because what happens sometimes, you know, the academies want to bring players from everywhere, okay? They want to make happy every team that is not an MLS, so they would buy tickets to go see the first team. But the problem is that you're picking players for numbers. You're not picking players because of quality and talent. And that's where also we're missing the point. We need to improve that. You know, the ones that are talented, bring them from any club and then help those clubs. But the ones who are not, don't bring them, because at the end of the year or 3 years, 5 years, you know this, but a lot of these contracts that these kids are giving, I think that it has a name in the MLS. The contracts that they sign with these young kids, okay? They sign them for 2-3 years, and then after 2-3 years, they never play for the first team. They're not good enough for the second team, and they let them go. But they sign homegrown contracts.
Yes. Okay?
And I think this, a lot of players, some of them playing in the Galaxy, guys that I knew 10 years ago, they signed it. They never played in the first team. So something's wrong there. We're missing the mark of, again, having the right people to be able to select the talented players and then having a program for those talented players, okay?
Yep.
1 or 2 in 5-6 years, so they can play with the first team and somehow, maybe, if we continue to work with them, become national teams and then sell them to other countries. But we're doing the opposite. We're buying players from other countries, young players, bringing them here, okay? Mm-hmm. They stay here for 2-3 years, and then they sell them again. But we're forgetting about our country, our kids. We're not paying attention, and I don't think a lot of times we have the right people that are doing that.
And I also think that, for instance, here in Houston, since we don't have any Houston kids running out of that tunnel on game day, it's a missed marketing piece as well. You know, there's nothing better than the homegrown performing well and the affinity and the affection that they get then from the locals. I want to take you back to something you said. Why haven't you ever gotten a job as a head coach in MLS? What do you think it is?
Look, one, I don't think I have an agent. And second, I had a, you know, I worked with U.S. for about 8 years, as you know. And when I left, it was because I wasn't in agreement with certain things that I have seen in the program. I wasn't in agreement of certain decisions that were taken. So I left, and I don't know if maybe they said, you know, don't hire this guy. Maybe. I'm not saying that's for sure. And the other reason is also because I feel that, you know, this in the MLS, it's not how much you know, it's who you know. Okay. I was interviewed 2 years ago, DC United. Okay. And I found out today that the guy who interviewed me got fired.
Okay. Yeah, that would have been, hang on a second. Yeah, McKay. Got released today. Listen, Ugo, can I ask you a question? Are you good for one more segment? Because we can't leave it at this, and I have to get to a commercial break here to pay the bills, all right?
Let's do it.
Okay. All right, beautiful. This is a really good interview. Ugo Perez, former U.S. national team player, went to 2 World Cups, worked with Christian Pulisic and all them. We're going to talk more about that as well. But we're really enjoying this with Ugo. Tremendous insight and experience. Has been also the coach of El Salvador, of course. As you know, Ugo, there's a ton of Salvadorian fans right here in Houston. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.